you have your Bible, turn with me, if you will, to three verses of Scripture. We didn't kill a lot of time. We used that time to praise and worship God. But I want to read just a few moments on this subject, the Great Exchange. I want to read from Romans 3, 24 through 26. Before I read that, I want to put a context for the New Testament out of a story of the Old Testament, a true story. Joshua the high priest came to stand before the Lord. As a priest, he came to stand for the purpose of interceding for the nation of Israel, who was steeped, as many times they found themselves, in sin and compromise. He came to stand before the Lord to intercede. That's what priests did. That was their job. When they offered the sacrifices, it was an intercession was being transpiring between God and man. And an intercessory sacrifice was being offered, just as Jesus was on the cross. But in the Old Testament, there's a story, and it says, "And Joshua the high priest came to stand before the Lord." And Satan, isn't that amazing? In the same sentence, in the same situation, is both this interceding one and the enemy, the accusing one. And they show up at the same time, at the same place, for a different purpose. It said, "And Satan was at his right hand to resist him." And in the text, we understand how Satan was doing it, because it said, to represent the sins of the people, normally he had pristine, pure garments on, but he was wearing filthy, stained garments. And what does Satan do to resist any of us? We really get an understanding of that in his name, Devil, Diablos, which simply means a maligner. It's somebody that is always going to try to find fault with you and tell it to anybody that will listen and try to destroy your credibility, your reputation. Satan is a maligner. And he does it before the Lord. Remember the story of Job? In the story of Job, angels are ascending and descending. We've seen that. Jacob saw it. He saw a corridor between earth and heaven. Heaven is involved in the affairs of men upon the earth. He saw angels ascending, amen, and descending. And in the book of Job, that is occurring. And an angel that has been banned from heaven shows up, and God knows he's coming, sees him coming, and allows him to come. Because he's going to use what he means for evil, for good, and for our instruction. And as these angels ascend and descend, getting their orders from God and coming to the earth to carry them out, there's an angel that shows up that is fallen and banned from heaven. And God asks him, "What are you doing here? You know you're banned. You're not supposed to be here." And, of course, the enemy begins to speak. And this is his nature, and that's why he's a maligner. He begins to speak. And he says, "All these people you love, these people you want to be in covenant with, these people that you've set your love upon," he said, "if you don't bless them in a way that they wouldn't serve you. A man on earth, no man on earth will serve you for naught. They won't serve you for who you are, but only what they need from you." Amen. Nobody will serve you because they love you, they reverence you, they recognize you as not only their creator, but their redeemer and savior. They won't serve you for the right reasons. If you didn't bless them, no man on planet earth would serve you. None of them. Revelation chapter 12 said, "Now is the accuser of our brethren cast down, that accused them," where? "Before God, day and night." And you can't overcome him by being sinlessly perfect. I want to clarify that. The Bible said, "Let not sin reign in your mortal body." It's not the ruling factor. But if a man says he has no sin, 1 John says, we're lying. We're not being honest with ourselves, and we're certainly not being honest with God. But if we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive our sin and to cleanse us from all iniquity. There is victory. We're not debtors to the flesh to always give in to it. There is a victory in Jesus. And although it isn't sinless perfection, it isn't living under Satan's influence and control. It is not letting ourselves be ruled by the enemy anymore. But we can't stand in the presence of a holy God and present ourselves. You're not going to be worthy of. Nobody in this room is worthy of heaven. Nobody. There's none righteous. And because of our humanity and pride, you either think you know somebody, or you think, even worse, that you're one of those that has arrived. Amen? There's none righteous. No. Not one. All we like sheep have gone astray. And God hath laid on Him the iniquity of us all. Can you say amen? That's why salvation is so powerful, so wonderful. What God has done in Jesus Christ for you and me. So here stands the high priest before the Lord, and his garments are representative of the sins of the people. Garments that are supposed to be pure are now polluted. And Satan has his right hand to resist him. How's he doing that? Is it some kind of oppression? Some kind of a pushing? Just terrible feeling? No. He's pointing out he's not worthy to even intercede for this people. Look at him. His garments are filthy. And you know what God said to deal with that? Because he's an accuser. He's resisting him by trying to disqualify him from receiving anything from the Lord or even having an audience with God. And you know what God says to deal with that? I love the way God deals with that. Bring him hither. A change of raiment. There's something in the... Oh, come on. The great exchange. Say it with me. The great exchange. You see, you didn't just get your sins forgiven if you've come to Christ. You just didn't get that old filthy garment removed from you. You know, and then you go out of church and pick it up and put it right back on. And you're in the same stinking mess you were. You got baptized in water. You went down a dry center. And you came up a wet center. Baptism won't save you. Amen. Baptism can't cleanse you. But there is a saving, cleansing agent. The Bible said, amen, now is the accuser of our brethren cast down that accused them before God day and night in Revelation chapter 12, and they overcame him by one element provided and applied, by the blood of the Lamb. Hallelujah. What can wash away my sin? What can make me whole again? Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Can you say amen? In that praise, there is a pleading of the blood of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Everybody in this room needs a change of garment. And here's what happened at the cross. Jesus spiritually took our filthy garments. He that knew no sin put on our garments. Listen, he that knew no sin was made to be sin. He had to take your garment and wear it. Amen. Long enough for God's wrath against sin to be satisfied in his punishment. He had to put it on. The chastisement of our peace was laid on him. Amen. Therefore, I will appoint unto him a portion with the great. Can you say, man? I will lift him up into the highest place that there could possibly be because of what he's done in our behalf at the cross. I look out at so many people that are churchgoers. I've been saved for all of these years. I've been pastoring for, this is our 41st year. And I know there's a lot of people know how to do church good. Amen. There's a lot of preachers that they know exactly, amen, what to do and how to do it, and they can flip it on like a switch. But honey, that switch that can be flipped on can be flipped off just as easily. Amen. After the service in a personal walk, I know because I've been around. I've been around too many people that switched it off. I've seen people come behind a pulpit and just light up, when not because of the anointing coming. You can tell when the anointing of God gets a hold of somebody. Can you say, man? It's just self-evident. And you can tell when someone is just projecting a persona to you. This thing has got to get real at some point. Can you say, amen? If it's going to be relevant, it's got to get real. You can go to church for the music, for the choir. You can go for the sermonette, for Christianettes that live in spiritual bassinets. Or you can go to seek the living God till he come and rain righteousness on you. Can you say, amen? Because if he gets around this place, if he gets in the house, he's going to clean us up. Because he wants to use us for his honor and for his glory. Can you say amen? So if you don't want to get cleaned up, you're going to be in this place today. If you don't want to get cleaned up, if you want us to put a bow tie and put a ribbon and some perfume on that old pig and call him clean, you can wash him. You can baptize him. You can wash him off. You can use deodorant on him. You can put perfume on him. And you can put a pink ribbon around his neck or a blue ribbon. But you turn him loose, where is he going to head? Where is he going to head? Is he going to walk around that mud puddle and turn his nose up at that slop and try to stay clean? No, if he sees a mud puddle, he's going to jump in the middle of it. If he sees some slop, he's going to go headlong into it. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. We need something more than just cleaning up the old outside. We need something to happen on the inside. Hallelujah. Praise God. God's cleansing is always from the inside out. Can you say amen? It's never from the outside in. We went to church where everybody wore their hair in Pentecostal do. My wife had to have one because you didn't fit in if you didn't look like everybody else. Amen. You just didn't. And so everybody had to kind of look alike and dress alike. And it was holy. It was a holy thing. I went to preach in Merritt Island. I remember I went into a radio station there to make a radio broadcast. It was the DJ at the radio station. He was a Christian man, and he was actually he was a preacher. And he said... He was part of a real, real supposed to be holy. Anyways, Pentecostal organization that took great pride in their holiness, which that pretty much kills it when you get proud of it. But anyway, man, because God resists the proud, but that's called self-righteousness at a point. But I went in. It was hot. It was 95 degrees. It's in the middle of the summer. And I went in. They had the air on. And I went in, and I had on a white shirt. I had loosened my tie. I had turned the sleeves up twice on my white shirt. So I had a white shirt and tie, but the sleeves were up. Now I'm on radio. I'm not on television. This is on radio. And when I walked into the studio, and we're getting ready to do the broadcast, he's looking at me and sizing me up. First thing, have you ever been around anybody that the first thing they did was size you up? Amen. See if you fit the bill. Amen. I mean, you know, religion without a relationship with Jesus can really get to be some heavy-duty stuff. So he's sizing me up, and he says, if you were part of our organization, you would have to have your sleeves buttoned at the wrist. And you would have to have your tie, your shirt buttoned here, your tie just where it's supposed to be. And I was thinking, boy, I'm glad I'm not part of that organization. If that's what makes you holy and that's what makes you righteous, then something is missing. Am I missing something somewhere? He said, I sold books. I volunteered to work at the bookstore at our big camp meeting that we have once a year. And he said, it was so hot, I thought I was going to have a heat stroke. And I took my tie and loosened it up. and I unbuttoned my collar and I rolled my sleeves up. He said, I did it just like you. He couldn't imagine God actually using me under those conditions. He said, and I believe in dressing appropriately for God's house and as Christians. But here he was, and here I am.
Boy,
I don't know. I don't know if I can preach now. God's, see, and he said, my overseer come by, and he saw me. Now you're selling books in a bookstore outside in the heat. You're not behind a pulpit. You're not conducting a wedding or a funeral. You're just selling books to people. He said, are you a minister within our organization? He said, yes, sir, I am. He said, I want that top button buttoned. I want that tie straightened. And I want those sleeves buttoned at the wrist. I'm looking at him. Well, boy, I'm glad I'm not part of your organization. If that's your idea of what righteousness is and what holiness is, I need something more. I need a change of raiment. I need something to happen to me to get me right with God, whether I'm right with you or not. Amen. I didn't say that, but that's what I was thinking. And then, on top of that, he gave me credit and invited people to come out to the meeting on the air. He said, and now I'm going to introduce to you Pastor Robert A. Venable from the Holy Church of God in Tampa, Florida. He said, you need to come out to the meeting tonight, because he had been coming to the meeting. He said, because he can really shuck the corn. And I thought, well, that's got to be a compliment. I'm going to take it to heart. If I can shuck the corn, amen, spiritually, we'll shuck that corn tonight. Praise God. Hallelujah. And it was okay, and God moved in the meeting. But you, every now and then, you get an encounter with a dead, old, self-exalting, self-righteous religious system. And that's what Jesus hit. And you can clean up and you can go through all the motions, but God, man looks on what? What we present, the outward appearance. Where's God looking? God's looking right, directly, distinctly into the heart. That makes some people nervous in here. But David said, I have failed so bad, fouled up so bad when I went my own way. See, there's a way that seems right to a man. It seems right. In fact, there's a song about it on the old country music station that said, anything that feels this good can't be wrong. Did you know when you get your first rush? I have heard. I haven't done cocaine. There's other things, but I didn't do cocaine. But when you get your first rush, amen, from first hit from crack cocaine or the first rush from a needle in your arm, it feels good. But I'm going to tell you something. It's not going to do you good. Amen. You can watch the progression online if you want to and watch the crack addict, how they were when they started and where they are after 3 or 4 years of continuing in it as it tears away and eats away. One young man came into the drug rehab program that David Wilkerson had, and he began to describe his addiction to the Teen Challenge founder, David Wilkerson. And he said, when I first started doing drugs, it was like I got a pretty, cute, playful little monkey to play with. And he said, I love to play with that little monkey. We had such a good time laughing and playing together. He was just a little monkey, and he got up on my shoulder, and he went with me everywhere that I went. He said, the only thing was, the only catch to it, he was always hungry and always had to feed him. And he ate so much, he started growing and growing and growing and growing and growing. And see, he said, after a while, that little monkey had grown so big and he was so heavy and he was demanding more and more food, that I decided this is not fun anymore. This is not, you know, I look at people that are on the fence. Sister Linda one morning came up under the inspiration of the Spirit and said, Pastor Venable, just tell them, just tell people. There's too many people on the fence. one foot in the world, one foot in God's kingdom. Really, you can't have it that way. If you're either in it or you're out of it. You can't serve two masters. You will love one, he said, and hate the other. You'll hate one and love the other. You can't serve them simultaneously. That's why the challenge is always here, because God gave it. It's not something I choose to do. It's something he has already chosen to do. I cannot alter it and preach his word. I cannot alter it and be his servant. I will tell you the truth on Sunday. I may not see you next week. Amen. But I hope to see you in heaven one of these days. Whether I ever see you down here again, I hope that someday you decide to get off the fence, get right with God, have this great exchange occur. Can you say amen? So that you know that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Hallelujah. I long for the day when people on the fence will get off the fence and let God deliver them. You say, Brother Venable, I can't change myself. He doesn't expect you to. He expects you to receive him and let him change you. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Can a leopard change his spots? The question is asked in the old covenant. No, that's who he is. He can't change that about himself. You can't even change your height by trying to or worrying about it or through power of positive thinking. Who can add one cubit to his stature by worrying about it? But who can change you? Who can change me? Who can order a change of raiment? Said, bring him a change of raiment. Put a fair mitre on his head. Can you say amen? He's not qualified in himself, but I can qualify him to intercede for the nation of Israel. Hallelujah. He can't present himself. Listen, you cannot present yourself faultless before a holy God. But Jesus, with his nail-scarred hands and feet and side, can present you before him in that condition. The Bible said that Christ loved the church, gave himself for it, that he might present it. That who might present it? That we might present ourselves? I can do it all by myself. Look at here. Look at me. Look at where my sleeve is. Come on. You see how crazy that gets? Batman, the Riddler, wait till they get a load of me. Can you say amen? Their preachers actually walk out on Sunday morning with that attitude. Wait till they get a load of me. We went to a church that was gracious enough to let us have a room to hold this pastor's meeting. There was about 60 pastors coming. We all know without God we're not anything. We know if God took his hand off of us, we're as lost as anybody else. Without Jesus, we're nothing, and without him, we can do nothing. Amen. And you know, that's supposed to have a little bit of a humbling experience. You're supposed to give honor where honor is due. So we went to the pastor, and it's a big old church. Anyway, they went to the pastor, the founder. He went to the pastor and said, we want you to come in. You don't have to come in for the luncheon, but if you would just come in and let us thank you. We'd all like to acknowledge you and thank you for the use of your facility and your air conditioning. You've been gracious enough to do that. And he was wearing a pair of Dockers. You know, I guess he dropped by the tree. He had a pair of Dockers pants, looking brand new, shiny shoes. He had a nice, he didn't have a tie, but he had a nice white shirt with the sleeves that come down to the elbow. And he said, I'm not dressed appropriately. Wait, what? 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 Come on. You're not going to preach today. You're not going to stand in the white hot spotlight behind the pulpit today. You're just going to come in with the rest of us guys that need Jesus and need each other, need help in our life, and need to confess our faults to one another and pray for one another. Can you say amen? See, we need to climb down out of those places that we've placed ourselves. We need to get real with God if we want to get right with God. And we just kept trying to get him to come in. but he felt like I can't. And I thought, there it is again. It always raises up its head somewhere. That guy wouldn't meet with two other men and confess his faults for anything in the world because he wants to present himself faultless. Amen. If you try to present yourself faultless, you are saying essentially, I have no sin. Not a sin of omission or commission. There's nothing I ever need to repent of. I have arrived at this place of perfect, sinless perfection and holiness. No one's there. We all need from time to time to get before God. It don't mean we live in sin and repentance, that vicious cycle. Don't let sin reign. Don't let it be the ruling factor. But don't ever think that you can rise so above it that you're so super sanctified that you don't need, amen, to get down before God and do business with Him. Hallelujah. God is a businessman. And if you come here to do business with God, He's ready to make an exchange with you. He's ready to give you His righteous robes for your old filthy sin-stained garments. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. He's here for that purpose. Righteousness, being right with God, requires a sinlessness. God is too holy to accept you in an imperfect way. But He loves you too much to lose you. So He came up with what we call the plan of salvation. How can I save people and still be a holy God? How can I be just and a justifier of them that trust Christ simultaneously? How can I be just and forgive John when John can't present himself perfectly and I can't accept imperfection? To us, it would be a dilemma. It wasn't for God. He didn't have to stop and scratch his head from the foundation of this world before man was ever created in God's plan. Because if I give man a free will, he may choose the wrong thing. If I give him the capacity without making him a robot, I give him something in my likeness that involves a free sovereign will. He may make the wrong choice. If he does, he's going to need to be redeemed. And the Bible speaks of Jesus as the Lamb that was slain, not just 2,000 years ago at Calvary, but in the mind of God and in the plan and purpose of God. He is the Lamb that was slain from the foundation of the world. He said, before I made man, I begin to purpose and provide a redeemer for man. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. I'm so glad for Jesus Christ today. I'm so glad to be washed in His blood. I'm so glad that He took my filthy rags and wore them to the cross and took the punishment. Hallelujah. Amen. And you know what? What doubles my gladness and turns it into exceeding joy? Not only did He take my garment that was sin-stained and wear it to the cross and be punished in my place, but He granted to me He gave me His garment. And there's been a change of raiment occur. Do you know what righteousness is required before God to enter into the gate of that city? Perfect righteousness. A righteousness that the devil cannot accuse you of and God won't accuse you of. What happens to your sin when you come to Christ? What happens to it? The Bible said, as it is written, I will cast their sins away from them, disassociate them completely from them, as if they had never occurred. And how far is He going to throw them? As far as the east is from the west. Why east from west and not north from south? I'm glad you asked. If you go north on this planet, amen, you will come to a pole. If you go south, you will come to a pole. You'll come to a place. But there is no west pole. There is no east pole. You can go round and round, 25,000 mile round and round, amen, for eternity and never come to an end of it. Where has he put it? He's put it where it can never be brought up, where it can never be brought back. Can you say amen? And that's why Paul said, and being found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is after the law, but the righteousness which is of God through Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Woo! Wow. How can... And then we exchange not only our sin for his righteousness, but we exchange our guilt and shame for his peace. Jesus had perfect peace because he had perfect fellowship with the Father when he stood before Pilate and everybody forsook him and everybody went back. You know what he said? He said, my Father is always with me. Perfect peace. Perfect peace. He wasn't rattled. He wasn't shattered by it. My Father is right here with me. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But on the cross, when the exchange was occurring, when he that knew no sin became sin, not because he sinned, not because in his spirit he was tainted in any way. Did you know he didn't cease being God while hanging on that cross? But in his humanity, this perfect blending of God and man. Amen. In his humanity, and while he was doing that act of being punished for our sin, he cried out, Father, Father, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, which being interpreted as my God, why hast thou forsaken me? The peace wasn't there. Jesus didn't die with that peace on the cross. He didn't suffer with that peace reigning in him. On that cross, the pain and the suffering for that 6-hour period, he suffered as a man forsaken of God. That's why Isaiah 53 said, when we saw him, there was nothing that we should desire him. Have you ever seen something that turns your stomach? That's what it was talking about. It's going to talk about the cross. It turns your stomach. My uncle stopped at a wreck one day that had just occurred. And for about a year, it affected him. I don't know how some people in EMS do it, the ones that go out on the highways and byways and they pick up little children that have been just mutilated and people that have been decapitated and people that are in horrendous, terrible ways. He said, I stopped to give aid. But when I looked in that car, what I saw, it said there was a lady in that car, and it looked like someone had chopped her face with an axe. And it had just torn. You could see. He went into the detail, and he said, I would wake up at night troubled and bothered for a long, long time. And when I would go by that place on the highway, it would get to me. That's what Isaiah is saying. After they beat him, after they scourged him, after they put the crown of thorn on his head and spit upon him. The Bible said of him prophetically that his visage was marred more than any man's. There's never been a man in human history to that point or after that was beaten and battered like he was. Can you say, man? His visage was marred more than any man. And we're not even just talking about the physical part of him. But he was treated as every sinner and every kind of heinous sin on that cross. And he was punished for those sins on that cross. When we saw him, Isaiah 53:1, there was nothing that we should desire him. We did esteem him, smitten, stricken of God, and afflicted. He must have done something so awful and so terrible, so horrible, that God would punish him like this. Amen. But surely he, what was he doing? He bore our griefs. He carried our sorrows. He was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquity. And the chastisement that brought us peace was upon him. Can you say amen? All we like sheep have gone astray, and God hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Therefore, I will appoint unto him a portion with the great. If there's anybody that needs to be praised, honored, and followed, it's Jesus Christ. Can you say amen? If you've got a problem following Him, you've got a problem with understanding what He's done for you. Amen. God can't look over your sin. He can't put it under the rug. He can't be holy and do that. His holiness demands judgment. But His love for you demands that He find a way to save you in spite of yourself. He said, the only way I can be just and a justifier of them that trust Christ is to judge their sin in Him so they can be so forgiven that they can be granted His robe. Because it's either Christ's righteousness or it's yours. And yours is not enough. And being found in Him, and Paul, the religious crowd, he had credentials, man. Paul said, if any man have a reason for glory, it's me. Before he came to Jesus. He said, I am a Jew of the Jews. And I am of the tribe of Benjamin. And I have been, come on, he's tightening his cuff links and straightening his tie, isn't he? Can you see him? Amen. I am a Jew of the Jews. Come on, give me some of this. I'm a Jew of the Jews. Can you say amen? I'm of the tribe of Benjamin. I was circumcised the eighth day according to the law. And while we're on the subject of the Ten Commandments, I am blameless. So if anybody had a reason to glory in his religious credentials, Paul said, I'm more. But the things, and boy, this is what he treasured, the respect of his peers and everybody that saw him. Amen. He said, but the things I once counted gain, I count them as but dung, that I might win Jesus Christ and be found in Him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, which the law couldn't make anyone righteous. The Bible said it was our schoolmaster to bring us to God. It reminded us of how unrighteous we were and unworthy we were and how bad we needed a Savior. Hallelujah. Amen. To bring us to who? To God. How can we come to God in that condition? Amen. The just has suffered for the unjust that He might qualify us and bring us to God. Hallelujah. Wow. The great exchange. The enemy points out your imperfections and sins. Doesn't mean sin isn't an issue. You come to Jesus, man, God wants you to look a little different. Walk different. Talk different. Any man be in Christ? He's a new creation. I'm not talking about in church. I'm talking about in Christ. He's a new creation. You've been born from above. Something has occurred within. The Bible calls it the regeneration of the Holy Ghost. You that were dead in trespasses and sins have been quickened, made alive, alive to God now through Jesus Christ. And God alive to you. Praise God. I'm going to say this because I've got to say it. Because some people are going to use this wonderful privilege of having His garment as a cover-up for our desire to just live in sin unrepentant. And it's not to cover up sin. It's to forgive it. Amen? I don't want to go to a church when I know in my heart that I'm not right with God and have some preacher stand up there and never challenge me. I don't want to go to a physician if I've got a tumor that's pressing on my brain that's going to kill me in 6 weeks. Give me an aspirin and send me home because they don't want to bother me. I want to go somewhere where somebody loves me enough to tell me the truth. It's my decision if I don't ever go back to that doctor that told me the truth and live in denial until I die. But when I go to that doctor, I want him to tell me what's wrong with me and I want him to tell me what I need to do to fix it. And you say, man, if they need to cut my head open and take that sucker out, let's get it on. If I wake up here, God will be with me. If I wake up there, I will be with God. So let's get it on. But don't give me an aspirin and send me home, knowing the condition that I'm in. I want the truth. You know why? Because I don't want to be in the mess that so many people are. You're choosing sin over righteousness. You ain't having no fun. If what you have is happy, you keep it. I don't want it. Burl Ives sung the song, Mr. In Between. Makes a feller mean. If you sell out to God, well, I have to quit sinning. You'll want to quit sinning. You want something different in your life. And if you don't sell out to God, then you're sold out to somebody else. I asked the men to pray for me yesterday. What I confessed before them is that I struggle with burnout. I preached the gospel for 40 years, going on 41. I've seen people come to altars, but they didn't come to Christ. I've seen people come to church, but they didn't follow Christ. It starts getting to you. And we're living in a generation, the end time, the last of the last days. And the Bible said it would be marked with this. What shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of all things? Matthew 24, verse 30 and 31. Jesus is answering that question so relevant to you and me today. He said, many false prophets will go out into the land. They're here. There's a man on television right now that has more people listening to him than Jesus ever had in a crowd to hear him while he was on this earth. He has publicly made the statement, I never, ever talk about sin in my delivery. How are sinners going to be convicted? How are sins going to be forgiven if we never define what sin is so we can see the need for a Savior? But we're in a feel-good, pop psychology era today, where some preachers are just one pastor that built a church. It was humongous. It finally fell under the weight of its own whatever it was. It wasn't God, I'll tell you that. Because the same man would come and speak to salespeople for huge organizations and get maybe, you know, $10,000 to come and motivate them. He was a motivator, and he knew how to motivate people. The Holy Ghost is a convictor. When he shows up, he will convince the world of what? Of sin. Why? Because it'll damn your soul. He said, you know what God said? My ear's not heavy that it can't hear. My hand's not short that it can't save. I can help you. I can heal you. I can save you. I can deliver you. I can provide for you, and I can defend you. But your sin has separated between you and your God. Well, for heaven's sakes, if he offers all of that for this stinking sin, my pet sin that I think I can't live without, honey, I can't live without that help that I need, that healing that I need, that salvation and forgiveness that I need, that peace that I need, that joy that I need, that fulfillment that I need. I can do without that sin, but I can't do without him. Hallelujah. Let me finish the Dave Wilkerson story. He said the monkey was so much fun. I took him everywhere with me. He ate with me. He slept with me. We had such a good time. But suddenly, I was feeling the pressure. And I reached up to pet the monkey. The monkey is demanding more food. I reached up to pet it and said, don't do that. Not now. No more. No more today. And he said the monkey had grown. He said it wasn't a little cute monkey anymore. He's talking about the progression of his habit from recreational drugs to full-blown addiction. It's not a little monkey anymore to play with. It is now a full-grown ape. He's bigger than me. He's stronger than me. and he's too heavy for me to carry. So he said, I decided I'm going to get rid of him. I'm going to get him off of me. But said, when I reached up to grab him, I found out he's bigger than me. He's stronger than me. And I found out now I don't have the monkey. The monkey has me. And I can't get free. But he came to Teen Challenge. Amen. Did you know that they brought Dave Wilkerson, as we try to close, they brought Dave Wilkerson to Washington, D.C. because his program for getting people off of hard drugs, 80% of the people that got delivered never went back. 80% of the people that got set free stayed set free. The government programs funded by millions of dollars, 20% was all that stayed clean. 80% turned around. It's the pig with the perfume on, headed back for the puddle. Can you say amen? Pretty pig after he got done with him. But his nature, come on, you got to do something on the inside, not just on the outside. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So they called David Wilkerson to Washington, D.C. And in Washington, D.C., they told him that the government was prepared to give him a grant, that he desperately needed money to open up more teen challenges. Well, I went to one of the first ones in Tampa when they opened it and met a lot of young people and met the person that was running it. My uncle sat down and had lunch with David Wilkerson, and they talked about it a lot. In fact, before they started that church in Times Square, a man came in who was a self-confessed warlock, and that's a male witch, and he came in. He came over to the table and he sat down. He looked at Dave Wilkerson and he said, "Man, I can't read you. I can read anybody, but I can't read you." He said, I can see what a person is. I can see. And Dave just sat there and said, "You can't read me because I belong to Jesus Christ. I don't belong to your world." Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Listen to me. Glory be to God. They offered him $1 million in a grant to help further those programs because they were working, and there's a big drug problem, and it's still here. And he wrote a little pamphlet called The Jesus Factor based on that experience. Because they told him, you can have $1 million grant from us to help further your outreach programs. But you can't mention Jesus. Isn't that incredible? You can't mention Jesus. Listen, you can talk about God in generic terms. They do that at AA. Pick your God. Pick your deity. Just anybody beyond you, a higher power. But don't call him by the name that saves. Can you say amen? Because there's a name filled with power. There's a name that God will honor. Hallelujah. There's a name that's exalted above every name that is named in heaven and earth and things beneath the earth. Hallelujah. Demons tremble at the sound of that name. Angels bow at the sound of that name. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. And David told this man with the monkey, if you are ready to come to Jesus Christ, confess your sin and repent, he's ready to set you free. And he said to those sitting in that hearing in Washington, D.C., if I take the Jesus factor out of, amen, our drug programs, then we're not going to have anybody set free, because he changes them, not with methadone to help them kick it. Something has to change the heart, the mind, and the will. Hallelujah. And Jesus is ready to do it today for anybody that will get real and get right with him. Hallelujah! He's anointed to set the captive free, to set at liberty those that are bruised. Glory to God. Hallelujah! So I am a preacher of Jesus Christ. Amen. If I go to heaven, which I just about did, about 2 years ago this September, amen, you know what I'd love on my tombstone? Robert A. Venable, a preacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. That's all I care. That's all that it matters to me. I've seen many hear it and turn away from it. Amen. Down through the years, and Brother Taylor, it wears on you. It wears. Jesus groaned and he wept over Jerusalem. You that kill the prophets. You that stone them that are what? Sent to you. For what purpose? How many times would I have taken you under my wing? Give you protection and shelter, but you would not. That's the only reason anybody is going to end up in hell, Brother Taylor. It's not because God wills it. It's because they wouldn't come to Jesus. Amen. They chose the darkness over the light. And the devil is defrauding, deceitfully. He can't hit God. He can't hurt God personally in any way. But when he hurts one of God's children, one of those for whom Christ died, God feels it in his heart. And the devil loves to cause him pain. Can you say amen? But God, I'm not going to be one of those that causes him pain. Hallelujah. I'm going to be one of those, amen, that makes Jesus glad that he stayed on the cross. Because look what has happened. Look what reward I have for my suffering. Can you say amen? You know what we are called? And I got to quit. We are called his inheritance. That you might know what is his inheritance. Amen. We are his reward for the cross. Every one of you that's really saved. Now let me say this to you. Because some of you are going to go out of here without the Lord. Some of you are going to be lost. So listen to this carefully. Many are called. The call of God is to everybody. Judea, Jerusalem, and as the many as the Lord our God shall call. And you've got to be called because you can't come on your own. You can't come when it's convenient for you. When you decide I've sinned until I'm so satisfied in sinning, when I'm old and gray and I'm sitting slobbered on myself in a rocking chair, then I'll come to Jesus. No, you will not. Statistics say after 65 years old, there's a very narrow, small percentage. You know why? Because before 65 years of old, there has been call after call after call from God. And every time that call is rejected, there's a callous that comes on the heart. Until after a while, you don't hear nor heed the call anymore. Today is the day of salvation. This, not tomorrow, next week, when you decide it's convenient. You know what Jesus said? No man can come to me except my Father draw him. Can you say amen? If you're convicted this morning, this is the wonderful work of the Holy Spirit. Because if he didn't call you, you can't come. Can you say amen? But thank God he's here. And I know what he's doing right now. He's calling somebody. How do you know? Amen. I know him. I know the gospel. I know the purpose of it, the power of it. I know the enemy and the lies that he tells. I fell for it for a while. I got saved at 12 years of age. But I didn't know about this exchange. I didn't understand, appreciate, nor appropriate what salvation meant, but I was truly saved. How do you know you're truly saved? I got to hurry. Will you give me 5 minutes? Will you give me 6.5 by grace? All right, listen to me carefully. I'm in my little bow tie. My mama and dad didn't have much, but they got me a little vest at a secondhand store. I had a little vest and a little bow tie, a little white shirt, and I had polished my shoes, and they were shining, Jackson. Amen. I was looking so good. You know why I'm looking so good for church? It's because, well, two things. Number one, it's the only place we got to go because we were so po. How po was you? We don't have time for that. Anyway, amen. But we were poor folks. And just getting out and going anywhere was a treat. Especially because my great-grandmother would slip my daddy, who was always broke, slip him, amen, $2 when we would go to church. And we were going to stop at the Biff Burger on the way home and get us a milkshake on the way home. So my grand plan was, let's go to church and get it over with so we can go and get the milkshake on the way home. I watched the clock. I was worse than a lot of folks anyway. Amen. I was watching that clock, man. And we're in a Pentecostal church, and oh, we thought it was over. But it ain't. You're in a Pentecostal church, it may never get over. You just have to leave at some point. Anyway, so I'm waiting and watching. But something else had occurred. Something else had occurred. A note had been delivered to me from a girl. That's right. And all the ladies said, amen. You could say it, Sister Brown. It was a girl. Girls didn't deliver me notes. Only girl I knew was Big Patricia, and she'd beat you up. But on this note that this other girl gave me, it said, so-and-so likes you. Man, I began to go to church. I began to shine my shoes, brush my teeth, and wash behind my ears. And when they stood to sing Amazing Grace, I stood as if I was in a military, because I'm trying to be taller than it was. They end up showing me how tall it is without even trying. See, that's when you're not trying. But when you leave, you're going to pull out a little bit. So I'm standing with my chest out. I'm standing like this because the girl that likes me is bound to be noticed. Guys, my dad, the associate minister, said, has your son had military training? Do you send him to a military academy? No, I go to Mango School. Barely got enough lunch money to go there, but God was good. So here I am with all of that going through my mind and the milkshake right up there in the top shelf. Church is over. We're going to get that milkshake. I got my note in my hand. It's been a good day. Service is over. I'm going home now. Get my milkshake. Have a good time. It's been great. Got a girl liking me. Going to get a milkshake. It don't get no better. Hallelujah for a 12-year-old coming into puberty. Amen. Now, did you get a beard when you were 12? No, okay. I didn't know when that actually came in. I didn't either, but you know. You didn't? For real? Okay. Service is over. I'm happy. Pastor says, well, let's pray, and you know, the whole thing had been done. I'm excited about going home. God's not in all of my thoughts, my mind, my radar. Three women stood up, walked forward. One of them tugged on the pastor's coat and said, we feel led to sing a song. God is calling somebody. Of course, Pentecostal church, It ain't over till it's over. And they sat down at the piano, and I'm sitting back down in my seat, and I'm, oh, Lord, Lord, Lord. Like some of you when I say I'm closing, oh, Lord, Lord, Lord. Yeah, make you mean it, Lord. My wife is so honest. Thank you, Jesus. One of her virtues is honesty. But she speaks for a lot of honest people in here.
Amen.
Amen. And she, biggest amen I got in the whole sermon. They begin to sing. I'll never forget it as long as I live, because when God called you, it's not somebody shaming you, somebody pushing you, somebody pulling you. It's God calling you. And no preacher can do that in this whole world. Only the Holy, it's His office, it's the Holy Spirit. When He comes, and He came for me. He came for me. At 12, He came for me. Hallelujah. Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling for you and for me. Over life's ramparts, He's waiting and watching for you and for me. Come home, ye who are weary, come home. Earn earnestly, tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling, oh, sinner, come home. The Holy Ghost got a hold of me. Tears filled my eyes. I was blind with tears. I knew God is calling me to come to Jesus. Was you some big sinner? No, you don't have to be a big sinner, little sinner. We all need a Savior. And God called me. And He brought me. I knelt at that altar. And I can tell you the time, as the song said, I can take you to the place. I can take you to Holland and Astor, to a little church that's still sitting there where God put His hand on me. Praise God, something got a hold on me. Oh, it must be love. And love called me home. And I didn't even know I was lost. But when He called me, I saw it. I sensed it. I came to know Christ as my Savior. I wish I could tell you I never fell away, but I did. But I want to thank God at 21 years of old, He called me again. Praise God. And this time, He called me to commit to follow Him. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And it took. And it outlasted all of the devil's devices. Amen. I don't know what the future is going to hold, what trials I'm going to face, but I know one thing. I know in whom I have believed. And I'm persuaded that He is able to keep what I have committed unto Him against that day that is surely coming. Can you say amen? And I wouldn't trade the peace in my heart, the joy in my soul, for all the sin that was about. Listen, sin would have ruined our marriage. Our marriage couldn't have survived another 24 months in the kind of sin that we were moving out into. But God, oh, friend, we've been married for 51 years. How? Because we both came to Jesus and we got that sin issue settled. And I'd rather have a happy, holy marriage than the sin that would have destroyed it. Amen. God didn't take something from me. He gave me something wonderful. Can you say amen? Woo! Well, I'm going to ask the question. Anyone here today would like to change garments with Jesus? Not Jesus now, but Jesus on the cross. That you would let Him take your garment and your punishment so that you could have His garment. Righteousness means that not only has God taken away your guilt and shame, He's given you Christ's innocence. And because of that, I don't want to walk out of here and go into some brothel or bar or party where all the junk is going on. I don't want to be there because I have something so precious and so wonderful. I don't want to drag that garment in that dirt. Can you say amen? It's too important to me. It's too vital to me. Anyone in here want to make that exchange real quick while every head is bowed? God hadn't spoke to you by now, then the callus is growing. The callus is growing. The callus is growing. I pushed God away after that, got bitter, and the calluses on my heart grew. They grew until I was 21. And I felt hardened. I knew the gospel, but I needed God's help. And when God drew me the next time, it was overriding and overruling everything else. And I wanted salvation more than I wanted anything or anyone in my whole life. And when I came to Jesus on those terms, He set me free from all that held me in bondage. Every chain broke. And He gave me joy for sorrow. Amen. As it is written, I will give you beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, and the garment of praise for what's on you right now, the spirit of heaviness. If sin is so much fun, it sure don't look like it when I see you. When I see you, you ain't having no fun. Because the way of the transgressor is hard, but His yoke is easy, and His burden is light. Hallelujah. God bless you. I'll never quit praying for you. I pray somewhere between here and eternity that one plants, another waters, and God will give you an increase. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to the Lord. Will you stand with me today? How many in this room are glad that you're saved?
Amen.
How many are glad the great exchange has occurred? Paula, come up here and do that. Come right up here and do that. I got to use you as an example today. I know the Lord's working in your life. Amen. That's why the devil's working against you, because God's working for you. Amen. How many are glad that you're saved today and made the great exchange? All right, that's what I'm talking about. Amen. You may be seated, but don't quit praising. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, we're going to begin. We're going to end like we began. I am so glad that I'm saved today. I'm happy. I haven't got over it. Praise God. If you come to this church, you're going to be convicted. Thank God for it. Don't run from God. Run to Him. Hallelujah. He's calling you. He's got to be calling you. You wouldn't be here if He wasn't calling you. Can you say, man, there's too many churches where you won't be bugged. There's too many churches where you won't be bothered. There's too many churches that you can sit there in your sin, and there's so many other people sitting there in their sin that you can be perfectly comfortable, but you can't do it here. Thank God. This is different. Can you say, man? Hallelujah. And if you ever want to get right, come on down. Hallelujah. Because God is waiting and He's willing to do business with you. Let's give Him praise before we leave. I just feel like praising before we leave.